Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 8 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. In the studios, we have Mawlana Ibrahim Bam, alhamdulillah, after a long time. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners. It is an honor to be in the studios of Radio Islam, alhamdulillah.
How are you doing, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been very kind. Allah always grants us more than what we deserve. It is only the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. Mawlana, last week you were busy with chapter 13. A quick recap, Mawlana.
Yes, Mawlana, we spoke about how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with adversaries and enemies. There is no doubt whatsoever that somewhere along the line we are going to meet people with whom we do not agree. Certain types of disputes that happen in our life. And the chapter deals with how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with adversaries. And we will be surprised. And of course today, given that internet and Google brings you great amount of information. And you can go into the Google and type out how to deal with adversaries. You will find management coaches giving you different indications, different tips. But wallahi al-azim, there is no better example than what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said. People have also, during the course of the week, surprisingly, I thought that it is something that people will understand and people will take it from what is made mention. But there have been many people who have, during the course of the week, expressed the view that is very difficult sometimes to forgive and forget the way Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. How do we get it right? And it is something that, inshallah, we hope that in today's program we will be able to deal with in some way and maybe take it further and expand on it.
Inshallah. Mawlana, I must comment on your topi, mashallah, very beautiful, something different. I see you would like to bring in variety of colors when it comes to dressing, mashallah, Mawlana. 10 minutes after 9, you are listening to the social program. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. Mawlana, just before we commence the program, I believe you'll be speaking at this weekend's workshop that will be held at Nurul Islam, Mawlana.
Well, I will have a minor role, but there will be many other ulama who will be in. And of course, it is a workshop or it is a program in which two important aspects would be discussed. And one would be the aspect of intimacy in marriage and the aspect of polygamy. Now, obviously, we know that it is something that has been sanctioned in the Holy Quran and permissible, but of course, a lot of myths, a lot of misunderstanding, misconception, perhaps many a times people doing it in a wrong way, which has led to this particular command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being greatly misunderstood. So may Allah ta'ala reward the Jamiatul Ulama, Dawah wa Irshad, who have been put together this program, and we hope that listeners can bear and keep this in mind and attend this program, inshallah, this coming Sunday at Nurul Islam, between, I think, is it 9:30 till Zohar, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. Mawlana, just to recap quickly of some of the things you mentioned last week, you spoke about Yaqulu Allati Hiya Ahsan, and then you spoke about some pointers that avoid making enemies, minimize situations that leads to enmity, humanize your enemy. And then you also said try to win them over and then try to reason with them. And if somebody is rude to you, then you just say make salam and you move on. So these are some of the broad pointers that we took from last week's program. Mawlana, we can now continue with today's program.
Yes, Mawlana, I think very, very important. We can maybe take this particular aspect. One of the things that I think also, and someone has brought it to my attention during the course of the week, and he spoke about his own personal experience, and he said that he dealt with someone who had done him unjustly, had dealt with him unjustly. And after he had passed away, he's relating this incident to me, so I'm just relating it, and I'm sure that maybe it will spark off curiosity, it will spark interest, and it will spark people to start thinking. And he said, there is no doubt that the person dealt with me very unjustly, and he passed away. I just kept a neutral stance, but after he had passed away, I saw him 3 times in a dream, in which he was pleading for me to forgive him, so that he can be redeemed, and he can attain salvation. So this particular aspect did come up, and he said that he felt that obviously, you know, you are always in a dilemma, or despite irrespective of your enmity and hostility, when someone tells you something like that, you do start thinking that, listen, if because of me someone is going to be going through difficulty, then I would forego. And I look at myself, I might be having many, many, many faults. But I feel, and this is my own tabiat and temperament, that if someone comes to me and say that no matter what I've done wrong to you, but I've come now and asking you for forgiveness, I firmly believe that my temperament would say, irrespective of how hurt I am, I would be able to forgive him. So there's two aspects that we learn from here. One is that while we are dealing and telling people that they should be forgiving to adversaries and enemies, right? Because that is the way Nabi Karim saw him. Then we'll give some remarkable incidents. The incidents that we can quote from the example of Nabi Sallallahu are such and such great lessons. I've tried to identify and make notes of those so that I could conclude it into this program. So while we will tell that, what do the people who have been wronged, what do they do? How do they come to terms with people who are their enemies, people who are their adversaries, people who have done wrong to them? That doesn't mean that we are in this program while telling people to forego and to forgive, because it was a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Doesn't in any way mean that we are giving a red light to people to oppress other people, or we're giving the red light to people to do wrong to others. People, when they do wrong to others, must realize the consequences of that. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that on the day of Qiyamah there will be complete equity, and there will be complete equality, and people will be dealt with justice to such an extent that if there is an animal with horns that had butted an animal without horns, on the day of Qiyamah, the matter will be reversed. And after the matter will be reversed, that animal which was butted without horns will be given horns and told to butt back that animal that had horns and had butted it in this world. When there will be equality and justice between animals, can you imagine what will be the equality between human beings? That is why it is part of many ulama's du'as that they used to make du'a, Allah, if I have done wrong to someone, ya Allah, forgive him. So that he doesn't take revenge on me on the day of Qiyamah. He doesn't insist on his pound of flesh on the day of Qiyamah. Then it will become very difficult, because there will be no assets on the day of judgment. The only asset that you will have is your good deeds, and you will have to forego your good deeds because of the wrong that you have done to someone in this world. So while we will tell people how to deal with adversaries and with people who have done you wrong, because that is a way to go as far as possible, not only for others but for your own self. I personally feel, and I've seen it with experience, that when you forego the wrong that other people have done to you, it gives you a freedom. It gives you peace of mind. It gives you contentment. And whereas if you dwell with it at all times, it puts you in misery, sometimes even more than the person who have done you wrong. And I think that is an important point that people must bear in mind as we go along in the program, because I've seen many people, messages have come, WhatsApp, but what we have... How can we forgive? How can we forget? Look at what he had done. Now that is the second question that I will address. But the first one I would like to address is this, that while we are telling people how to deal with people who have done you wrong, which of course will be the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? But it doesn't mean that we are giving people the license, because that's a very, very serious thing. And therefore also you will find that during the course of Umrah, when you're going and you will see the muallims reading du'as for people. And one du'a you always, inna Allahumma inna laka alayya hukukan kathira, wa hukukan fima bayni wa baynak, wa hukukan fima bayni wa bayna khalqik. Oh Allah, there are two types of wrongs that we have done. One wrong is between you and between us and our Creator. Oh Allah, with regard to that, oh Allah, you forgive us. But with regard to the wrong that we have done to the creation, then the du'a reads, oh Allah, bear it on our own behalf. Because Allah won't forgive until that person forgives. So there are three ways of asking for forgiveness. Maybe two, three ways. One is that you hope that, there's few ways we can look at it. Our ulama have made mention. One is that you're asking for forgiveness. So when you're asking for forgiveness, then if he forgives you, then inshallah Allah will forgive you for the wrong that you have done. One option. The second thing is that if he has done you wrong, in return, after you have done him wrong, he has done you wrong, right? Then Allah will measure it on the day of Qiyamah. So whose wrong is more. That is why in the Holy Quran there's an ayat, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa hudu ila rabbika wa in aqabtum fa'aqibu bimithli ma uqibtum bih wa in sabartum lahu khairun. When someone does you wrong, you are entitled to do that much wrong. So if someone took you 100 rand, you can go and forcibly take his 100 rand. Although you have to bear the consequences of the legal. We're not saying that you must do it in such a way that brings upon you legal ramification.
Mm.
But from the Shari point of view, someone took 100 rand, you are entitled to go and take your 100 rand from him.
Mm.
But if you make sabr, it is better. Now, just bear in mind, if you go and take 101 rand, on the day of Qiyamah, he is no more the zalim, you the zalim. That is why it is said that be very careful. Someone abuses you, you abuse him in return. You'd say more words than what he had said. All of a sudden, what happens? He is no more the person who has done wrong. You are the one who has done wrong. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala says, "When aqatum faqibu bimithli ma uqibtum bih." So if you have done someone has done you wrong, and you go and retaliate, and if you go and do more than what he has done, then you are now wrong. You are now zalim, and he is Muslim.
Mm.
So sometimes it could be that when you have someone done you wrong and you go and retaliate, and if you're wrong, you're ghibat. Sometimes someone has done you wrong 10%. You go and tell people 20%. Now on the day of Qiyamah, there is justice.
Mm.
Allah Ta'ala will measure things. And if your wrong now proves to be more than what he has done, you are the wrong person. And the third way is Allah Ta'ala will put it in his heart to forgive you. Allah will bear it on your behalf. And therefore we make dua to Allah. That is why part of the dua we make dua, oh Allah, whatever wrong we have done to people, oh Allah, forgive those people and bear it on our behalf, put it in their hearts. You are the controller of hearts. Put it in their hearts to forgive us.
Mm.
So three ways. So while we are telling people how to deal with adversaries, enemies, people who have done you wrong, it doesn't give people the license to do so. In fact, people who do that have to be very, very careful, because the ramification and the consequence about it in the year after are indeed very grave.
So if I may summarize the points, when Allah is saying to the person who's oppressing that, وَمَاللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, Allah is not oblivious of what you are doing. Allah is fully aware. And to the one that's been oppressed, Allah is saying, فَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا.
Yes.
So Allah is drawing the balance. And like you say, on the day of Qiyamah, the person will not be able to get away with whatever he's doing in this world. It's 23 minutes after 9. You are listening to the social program. The lines are open. 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could SMS on 48855. That's 48855. Or 072-786-1548. Inshallah. Or tweet Marana Ibrahim Bam on @IbrahimBam. Or 083-786-2859. Amala, you can take maybe one of the first incident that you have got.
Yeah, well, the one point that I wanted to make mention, I think many times people talk about this. First, I would just like to say, identify your enemies.
Hmm.
Not everyone whom you regard as your enemy is in reality really your enemy.
Subhanallah.
I mean, sometimes you start looking at things and you say, brothers not speaking to one another for years, and you see brothers and sisters not agreeing with one another, not speaking to one another, and you have identified him as your enemy. And you start thinking, but Ya Allah, these are the people who drank the breast of one mother, who grew up in one home, shared one parents, shared a home for such a long period of time, had a normal rivalry, love, sibling rivalry, grew up with one another, and now they have identified one another as their enemy.
Mm.
I mean, is that person really your enemy? And then you ask yourself over what has happened. Maybe you'll start thinking, looking at it, that it happened because you feel hurt because they didn't give you da'wah properly, they didn't give you invitation properly. Learn to identify who your real enemy is, who your real adversary is.
Mm.
Is that person really over a small argument, over a small incident? Is that person really your enemy? I think the point is, identify who your adversary really is.
Mm.
And I think you will be surprised that many a times you will come to realize that the person whom I'm regarding to be my enemy, or whom I have making all my attention towards that person, and every time my thought goes towards him, he did something like this to me, and you're sitting with bitterness all the time. Really, is he such an enemy? Maybe he has done you something wrong. Learn to live with that wrong. After all, we are human beings and we do wrong from time to time. If you start comparing the wrong people have done to you and start becoming so bitter and becoming so technical and becoming so principled that I'm not going to forgive, then can you imagine how Allah Ta'ala will deal with your wrongs?
Allah.
And if Allah Ta'ala were to use the same criteria for you, then what's going to happen?
Allah.
So I think it's important, first, identify who the real enemy is. And does one person's wrong that he has done to you, even if it is wrong, even if you acknowledge it to be wrong, does it actually, one person's wrong, does it now catapult that particular situation to the extent that you identify him as your enemy? So I think one of the things is, how learn to identify who really is your enemy. And if you've come to find, maybe you will find that really the person whom your whole life you have, you're taking out your bitterness, your chain and your sukoon and your tranquility and your peace is being disturbed. And really, is it worthwhile to bear that enmity and make him an enemy? Perhaps sometimes. And therefore we say forgiveness is not only for the person who has wronged you. Forgiveness is for your own self. You get redemption. You get a new move again. If you start keeping that bitterness, it just sort of consumes your entire existence and consumes your entire life. Sometimes, may Allah Ta'ala protect us from bitterness. Bitterness is something that is a very terrible pull to have and a very difficult thing to have in a person's life.
It's an interesting point you make, Murana, to identify your enemy, because it also leads to the question, who is your enemy?
Yes.
I mean, a student that enrolls in the madrasa and he finds the ustad is really strict with him, but he's doing him a favor, but he won't understand the benefit of this until he leaves the madrasa environment.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as he's staying there, he sees his ustad as his adversary.
Mm-hmm.
But the day he leaves madrasa and he understands the concept behind his strictness, he actually makes dua for him.
Yes.
So the question is interesting, that who is the enemy?
Yes.
Who would be an enemy? Well,
and someone has very beautifully sent them, wherever I send them, Allah reward them. I don't know who it is, I just see that they have, alhamdulillah, have been sending messages and interesting quotes from time to time relevant to the topic. And this one here really is something that is worthwhile for me to share with the listeners. Anyone can hold a grudge, but it takes a person with character to forgive. When you forgive, you release yourself from a painful burden.
Mm.
Forgiveness doesn't mean what has happened was okay. It doesn't mean that that person will still be welcome in your life. In the sense that maybe you have this limited interaction with him.
Limited.
Because they will be hurt. So maybe you have limited. It just means you have made peace with the pain and are ready to let it go.
Mm.
Very, very important point. JazakAllah for sending that.
Let's go to the lines. We've got a sister on line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. Jee, caller. Assalamu alaikum. Oops, looks like the sister is not there. Okay, you can call us on 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. We can take the first incident, Mara.
Well, the incident I'm going to make mention, the reason why I've chosen two incidents in particular is, many a times people bring about this aspect that Moana is very difficult to forgive and forget.
Mm.
Very difficult to forgive, because look at what and what they have done. And I chose two examples from the life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I always tell people there is no greater management, there is no greater example than the example of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you will find these two remarkable incidents in the seerah. Hazrat Moana Idris Kandalwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has made mention of it in Siratul Mustafa. Look at this beautiful aspect when he said that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Fatah Makkah, after the conquest of Makkah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Abbas, what has happened to your cousins? Where are they? So Abbas, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, who are you referring? Not Abbas was the uncle. What has happened to your nephews?
Mm.
So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, who are you referring to? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm referring to the sons of Abu Lahab. And of course, their name was Utbah and Mutab. And Abbas said, I will go and call them. And he went to go and call them. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to them. And they accepted Islam. Right? And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abbas, after they accepted Islam and they went, and Abbas said, I saw Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiling and happy. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was smiling, and I asked, Ya Rasulullah, why are you smiling? And he said, I asked Allah for the forgiveness of my cousins. in the haram. And I'm so pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted my duas. Now these were the son of someone whom Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran has spoken about his enmity and hostility to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also know that he spared no effort whatsoever in abusing Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to pick up stones and hurl it at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling people, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. He hurled stone to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which injured the calf of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the people of Makkah towards Islam. Out of his hostility, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam started the open preaching of Islam, two of the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in the nikah of his two sons. He instructed his two sons to divorce them. Right. Allah. Now two of them divorced. One of them was adamant and he was defiant. The other one was amongst those that while he divorced because of the pressure of his father was silent. He didn't say anything. So the one who was very defiant, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua against him by saying that may Allah release one of the wild animals upon him. So Abu Lahab, despite the fact that he was amongst those who did not accept Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all knew Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam always spoke the truth. So in one journey, they placed him right in the middle of the entire convoy and the entire expedition. So they placed people around. They must have been right in the middle. They placed the son of Abu Lahab. And the next morning, the animal from the desert came over everyone and destroyed and devoured that son upon whom Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua, and he was destroyed. The other one remained like that until this incident happened. Now, I'm just trying to tell you that many times people say, we can't forget what people have done to us. Now, here is an example of the Nabi of Allah. Did anyone do more harm than Abu Lahab? Is the person who has done harm to us, is it equivalent to the harm that Abu Lahab did to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgiving his sons, in fact making dua for their hidayat, being happy when they accept Islam? The other example is even more amazing. Abbar ibn Aswad was the one who,
when just on that incident, a person can bear the pain that is directed towards him, but he cannot bear the pain that is directed towards his children and his family members.
And here,
his beloved daughters were divorced.
Yes.
And that is for a father, that is a great sign of weakness. That I feel broken down now that my children are divorced. But even so, the Prophet of Allah did not keep that in mind, but he forgave the person and made dua in favor of him. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. The other one is even more amazing, because Zainab radiallahu anha was the eldest daughter of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she was migrating, Abbar ibn Aswad, I think it was the name, yes, he came and he put a spear at the camel, which made the camel go out of control and threw Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha off the camel. She fell down. She was pregnant at that time. She miscarried. And at that particular time, after, it eventually led to her death. Right? Can you imagine someone doing something which eventually leads to the death of your daughter? And Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha was amazing. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went into the grave of Hazrat Zainab, buried her, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into the grave and was extremely perturbed, sad, worried. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of the grave after burying Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, he was smiling. And Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we saw this. He said, when I went to the grave, I made dua to Allah, oh Allah, this eldest daughter of mine had suffered tremendous difficulty because of my mission, because of the deen of Islam. Oh Allah, have mercy upon her. And Allah Ta'ala revealed upon me as I was in the qabr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven her. And Allah has elevated the status. Therefore, when I came out of the qabr, I was in a different situation compared to the situation before I went into the qabr.
It's 9:36. You are listening to the social program. We go for a quick commercial break. When we come back, inshallah, we continue. The numbers are 011-854-1548, the SMS line 48855, or 072-786-1548.
This Friday, the 30th of October, Radio Islam International will air the latest lecture by Maulana Sulaiman Mullah titled Friends and Social Media.
One of them will say, Inni kana li qarin. Hey, you know what? I had a friend, man. in this world.
يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ
He always used to ask me, hey, you know what, we are buddies, we're friends, but on faith we differ, man. On religion we differ, man. We go different ways. But as friends, we are together. If the youth of today can only take the advice of their parents, respect their seniors, detach from evil.
Tune in after the 9 p.m. news.
We are discussing chapter 13 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Arifi, and some of the messages coming through, Malana. The first one reads, Assalamu alaikum, bitterness is like a cancer. It eats you up from inside and holds you back from going forward. That's one message. And then there's another message coming through on the WhatsApp line. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Malana. I'd like to remain anonymous. A certain person dealt with me unjustly. And there's a substantial amount here, big amount here. Recently, a month ago, he passed away. I decided to go for his janazah with a forgiving heart. But the beauty part is I was asked to perform his janazah salah, which I did. Believe me, I feel so beautiful, Malana.
MashaAllah. Allah Ta'ala make it even more beautiful. Jazakumullah. Allah Ta'ala is quite an amazing aspect and a remarkable example of what we are discussing.
This one says, my husband's brother, after an argument, had a fight, and ever since he said he will never speak to my husband, and he said we've tried to patch up and even in Ramadan, but to no avail. What do we do?
Well, the person who's in this particular aspect, al-badiu bis-salam bari'u min al-kibr, the person who initiates the salam is free from pride. If someone takes an oath that he's not going to speak to you, or he say that he will never speak to you, if you make an attempt to speak and then they don't respond, the responsibility of Allah Ta'ala will be with them.
The next one is about sihr, Mulana, that the family has been affected for over 30 years and the person is unable to get married.
And that is, you have to go to Ghostbusters. Really, I don't know. Sihr is something that it is beyond my control. It's something that I don't have any, maybe that's the whole particular way I put it forward might seem that I undermine it, but it's a reality. And what I'm trying to say is that perhaps go to people who will deal with it. I mean, I just don't know those particular aspects. We normally we are those who deal with the apparent, try to give advice upon the apparent. If there are certain other aspects that are in there, then people must go to those ulama who are experts in that field.
Well, I see the author has also quoted a very interesting incident.
Yeah, but before that incident, there's one or two other aspects that people have been speaking to me that I looked at the seerah and I took a few examples. And one example that I see, a lot of people sometimes do this, and we can just talk about that, and that is, you find that there is this feel, this aspect that we have forgiven. But whenever you get an opportunity, you then remark. So what type of forgiveness is that? That you forgive, and then after forgiving, you still mm-hmm. remind the person with regard to that. In the words of Mawatani Rahmatullah Ali, Mawatani Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Awal insan kisi ko maaf nahi karta. You know, normally first, it's very difficult for human being to forgive another person. And when he forgives, then he keeps a file of it in his memory to unleash at the right time. So, you know, after he forgave you, one day, you might say something and he'll sort of hamrawa, you know, you did something wrong and I forgave you. So, Moana used to say, you know, when Allah Ta'ala forgives, Allah forgives and Allah wipes away the memory of everything. Ataibu min adam kamalla adambala. He said, human being is not so forgiving. Human being, even when he forgives, he still keeps a file of it in his memory. So, that is the difference between Allah's forgiveness and human being's forgiveness. And then, the aspect of Nabi Karim Sallallahu's example came to my mind and I thought I will read that. When Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, long incident, a very, very long incident, I won't be able to give the entire incident, we're running out of time, but I think the point that I want to make, and just give this example, Abu Jahl was one of the arch enemies of Nabi Karim Sallallahu. Such a great enemy that you can't believe. Even on his deathbed, while Fir'aun said, Amantu anna wa la ilaha illallah amanat bihi banu Israel, I bring iman of the Lord of Bani Israel. This Fir'aun of this ummah, he told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was about to kill him in the battle, that go and tell your prophet how much I hated him yesterday, today I hate him even more. Right? So this aspect that, you know, now when Ikrama bin Abi Jahl comes in the presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after a long incident, his wife sought protection from him, and she went to look for him. He had gone to Yemen, and the ship was in problem, about to sink, and it got safely with difficulty in the shore, and she brought him in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as he's coming in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling the people, here comes Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, give him respect and honor, and don't speak bad about his father.
Allah.
Don't speak bad about his father, because speaking bad about the dead does not change their fortune, but gives hurt to the living.
Allahu.
Speaking bad about the dead does not change their fortune. If they have been good, Allah will reward them. If they are evil, Allah Ta'ala will take them to task. But you speaking good or bad will not change how Allah will deal with them. But what it will do, it will in reality hurt the feelings of the living. Now here is an example of how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with the son of Abu Jahl by saying, don't speak bad about his father. So when we want to forgive enemies and adversaries, which is a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I will go on to give other examples also, then the aspect, and this aspect tells you, don't discuss the hurt that they had caused you whenever you get an opportunity.
Allah.
Let it go. If you are forgiven, then let it go. And I think that it might be very difficult, people might say. But that is what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And I gave you an example with regard to it from the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
And not just any forgiveness. During the reign of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he was one of the leading commanders.
That's how, you see, that's the aspect. When you akhlaq, when you forgive, then the people who are your enemies become your friends.
Allah.
Right? Thamama bin Wathal, very famous example, was from the Bani Hanafiya tribe. Now, they were a very prominent tribe that used to be in the road when people used to travel from Medina to Syria and from Mecca to Syria. So, they had a lot of influence. So, and he used to give, whenever the Muslim traders used to go to Syria, this tribe used to give them a lot of problems. And if one day they got hold of the leader, one of the influential people, and brought him to Medina. And because of how much he had harmed the Muslim interest, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tied him on one of the pillars of Medina Munawwara in Masjid Nabawi. Thamama bin Wathal, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to come past while he's there. Thamama, how are you? And he used to say, what an amazing thing he used to say. He said that if you punish me, I'm entitled because I've done a lot of harm to the Muslims. But if you forgive me, you will be forgiving a person who is very appreciative. I will remember your forgiveness for the rest of my life. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to just smile. 2-3 days, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and every day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to ask him, he used to give a similar type of response. And after a week, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opened up the fetters, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go, Uthamama, you are free. Uthamama went away from Medina for a little while, outside on the outskirts. He took a bath, and he presented himself in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he accepted Islam. And then he said an amazing thing. He said, Ya Rasulullah, 1 week before, there was no one who I hated more in this world than you. Today there is no one I love more in this world than you.
Allah.
Now that is the example of how you win your enemies. That one week, he said, there was no one I hated more. And after staying in the company and seeing the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, there is no one I like and I love more than you. That is why it is said, and I think it's very interesting, I think there is a saying, keep your friends closer, but keep your enemies even more closer. So you'll be able to change that particular aspect. So I think very, very important point with regard to it. And as I said, during the course of the week, certain people have sent messages, and yesterday while I was sitting, I said, all those responses, let me respond to that. And many of these things came to mind, and I just sort of jotted it down, and as you will see, Mona, I've just got some of the things that are here with regard to it.
Assalamu alaikum. We forgive not to remind the wrongdoer of his wrong, but what if the person keeps repeating again and again?
Yes, that's true. It's a very important point, and I think maybe the way to deal with it is then perhaps have lesser. When we say forgive, doesn't mean, and I think I did made mention of that image previously, it doesn't mean that you have forgotten the wrong or the pain is not there. It's just when you want to move ahead. So if, for example, a person has caused you pain and he's repeatedly, then what you do, you keep a limited interaction. Don't have to keep now very close, but just keep the doors of communication open. keep the aspect of some sort of communication open, but don't cut off complete ties. There are repercussions from our Shari point of view with regard to it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive a person and people who are not interacting and speaking to one another for more than 3 days. Out of enmity and hostility. Sometimes you don't speak to a person for 3-4 days. But that is not because of enmity and hostility. It is because of maybe he's far, you don't get to meet him, you don't phone him. That is not what is meant by not keeping ta'alluq with a person for more than 3 days. But here, if you do not, or you stay away from a person for more than 3 days out of enmity and hostility, Allah Ta'ala suspends your forgiveness. So I think what is meant here is that it's a valid question, a very valid question. But what would be the reaction that maybe just keep limited interaction to the point of necessity?
011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, or alternatively 072-786-1548. This message reads, Mulana, what if the person is your husband? How do you keep a distance? Yes. Between a rock and a hard place, Mulana?
Maybe they should come to the Sunday program. No, really, it's such a very, very... I'm quite surprised with regard to... Then you really need to... Because if it's your husband, then obviously you need to resolve it. Get someone to resolve the issue. You can't be sitting in one house, having and carrying a bag of hostility and not being able to deal with one another. Try and find out the reasons why people... And I find it amazing. I mean, really, sometimes I find it amazing that husband and wife will have problems and no one will try to identify and find out what are the reasons for the problem. Sometimes it so happens that people will blame a whole host of issues, blame third parties who might not necessarily be directly related to the problem, but no one goes and finds out what are the reasons.
Nobody finds
out. No one finds out the reasons. So, I mean, if you are in your same house and in enmity and hostility with one another, go and resolve it. Otherwise, how are you going to stay together?
The sister's brother and daughters aren't speaking to me for 15 years over a small argument. I've been to their house many times and I've been begging them for forgiveness. But they said to leave them alone. It's biting me. What do I do?
You have done your responsibility. If you have asked them for forgiveness, the responsibility would be with them. You should continue whenever you get an opportunity. Nowadays it's easy to forgive. Nowadays it's easy because you don't have to phone. Previously you had to deal with one another. First you had to deal with one another to ask for forgiveness face to face. Then you had the telephone. Now you just send the message.
SubhanAllah. And put a nice emoticon there. Kiss, man. Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Ji, brother.
Mulana, this is not something of the topic that you are busy with. But if a Muslim committed suicide, he shot himself. Is he entitled to a normal janazan salah?
Leave your number there. With the, I will get someone to phone you from the dial lifter.
082.
Just give it to the coffee.
Right.
Give it to the
Okay. Jazakallah. All right, 011-854-1548. There's a follow-up on that message, Manana. She says, I try, but he does not want to call an outsider. He refuses to get help.
Then do the best of what you can do. What else can we say? I mean, it's a difficult situation. Maybe ask someone from the counseling services, how do you deal with it?
Last week, Manana mentioned to read in connection for X. Okay, this message is incomplete. My daughter's boss is nasty. What can she do? What can she read, Mara? Cook, Mara.
No, I'll try and get something. Maybe, inshallah, there is one or two. Maybe it doesn't come to mind now, but inshallah, I will, inshallah, by next week, Mara, can you remind me
inshallah
with regard to how do you deal with it? Well, one other aspect. Hello, can we carry on other messages coming?
You can carry on.
The one other aspect that I thought and I looked at, the type of response that we got from last week. And Allah Ta'ala's fazal, a lot of people give you things to think about. Allah Ta'ala reward the people who, even after the program, will send you. So during the course of the week, it sort of plays in your mind, and you look for responses. You start to train your mind to start thinking, this person asked this question, where can I get a response? Then you think about your reading, in this particular time I read this. So then yesterday I was sitting in there. One of the other is that, sometimes when people tell you something, then you always sometimes get hurt. But then I realized the example of one of our great, great ulama, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh. And of course, he was a very great, great alim. People used to write a lot against him, right, because of his greatness and he had views. So the students, when some of those letters used to come, they used to be very, very abusive. And the students, out of respect for their ustad, they shouldn't read those letters. So initially they read it, and then they start saying the man is becoming more abusive, so they didn't read, because at the end of the end of his life, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi couldn't read himself. So, so one day he asked that those letters used to come, why are people not reading it anymore? He said, not coming. They said, no, it's coming, but it's very abusive. The word tone is bad, it's disrespectful. So he gave a remarkable reply. He said, read out the letters. There might be something that is useful, beneficial to me, highlighting something that I've done wrong. Those things that are abusive and does not apply to me, I won't listen to it. But those things, there could be something that applies to me, then maybe I might have to rectify myself.
Allah.
Now, when sometimes enemies, your enemies perceived or real tell you something, yes, sometimes you get angry. Sometimes just take a step back and say, okay, let me see what they have said.
Subhanallah.
So sometimes they might say things that are off the mark. Then you say, well, Allah's fazal, Allah is not the way they are saying it. You have your stuff. A lot of people tell me a lot of things. Sometimes it's something for me to reflect. I got to rectify and amend myself. It is my weakness. Certain times there are things that I know that I haven't done wrong in that particular field, what they are saying. Like people accuse you of stealing millions or doing this and doing that. Well, I know I haven't done it. So that particular aspect. So what, sometimes when someone tells you, just look at what he's saying. Those things that are not relevant, the cap doesn't fit, don't wear it. Wear the cap fit, start thinking that, listen, he told me that I'm proud. He told me that I'm like this. Maybe I need to rectify myself.
SubhanAllah, amazing indeed. Alright, Mawlana, there are so many messages coming through. Let's take one of them quickly. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've been divorced for 10 odd years to come to terms with it, and I have forgiven myself and make this dua that Allah forgives me. And that see people in the heart, forgiveness. Sometimes SMS languages becomes very difficult. The worst forgets the bed, and the soul that loses faith. Basically, the person is saying that they forgive the person and they are making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them strength. 10 years.
Yes, very, very amazing something. It's I didn't get the gist of what you
said. We learn something from everyone who passes through our lives. Some lessons are painful, some are painless, but all are priceless.
MashaAllah. Jazakumullah.
Alright, the next one is a bit of a lengthy message. InshaAllah, we'll look at it some other time, Mawlana. Some concluding thoughts, Mawlana. We've got about a minute left.
Only a minute. I wanted to make mention of what that is, the remarkable incident that is here. That let me, should I just state, or maybe we
okay,
should...
Okay, Mawlana, we'll give you 2 minutes.
Right, just give me 2 minutes. I mean, this the author has made mention of this remarkable incident of Utbah bin Rabi, and also known as Abu Walid. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam started off his message, Utbah bin Rabi and the Quraysh were very, very greatly disturbed. So because Utbah was amongst the people who was most eloquent, very good in speech, and he used to represent the Quraysh, they said, why don't you go to the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And Utbah came and said, oh Muhammad, who is better? You are Abdullah, you are Abdul Muttalib. Are you better, or is your grandparents better? They followed away and you are telling us a complete new way. Why are you insulting what they have done? If you think that you are better than them, then speak so we may hear you say it. Before Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam could respond, Utbah lashed out in rage. By Allah, we have seen no other man who has brought such a great calamity to a nation as you have done. You have disunited us, split our ranks, insulted our religion, and brought disgrace to us, as everyone is now saying that Quraysh have a magician. There is nothing left to wait for except the moment when we use swords and kill one another. Utbah was displaying his anger, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened silently, composed. And then Utbah decided to bargain. I'm not going to go into that very famous bargaining. If through the means of your message you want wealth, we will give you wealth. If you want woman, name the woman in Makkah, we will make her available to you. If you want to become the king, we will make you the king. And Utbah started speaking. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Walid, Utbah, have you finished? Utbah was not surprised at the manners of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was always like that. And he replied, yes. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now listen to me. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read the beginning ayat of Surah Hamim Sijda. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hamim Tanzilu Min Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Kitabun Fussilat Ayatu Wa Qur'anan Arabiyyan Liqawmi Ya'lamun Bashira Wa Nadhira Fa'arada Aktharuhum Fahum La Yasma'un. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started reading. Utbah, despite the reason for which he had come, he was just sitting spellbound, could not say anything because of the impact of the words of Allah. And then when he came to the ayat where it said, you know, remember, فَقُلْ أَنْذَرْتُكُمْ سَائِقَةً مِثْلَ سَائِقَةِ عَادِي وَثَمُودِ. If you desist and stay away from this message, a calamity will come upon you the way that came upon Ad and Thamud. Utbah, despite what he came, he put his hand on the mouth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh my nephew, please keep quiet, please keep quiet. Don't go on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued. One riwayat made mention till the time of Sijda. And some people in one riwayat say that he also went down into Sijda. And then in this particular way, as they were coming towards the end, when he came back to the people, and then they said, oh, Abu Walid is not coming the way he left. He's coming in a different way. What is his situation? And when they came, he said, Wallahi al-Azim, I have been through all type of poetry of Arabs. I have seen people. I have never seen anyone. I have never heard any kalam the way Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. O people of Makkah, leave him between him and the tribes. If the tribes defeat him, your objectives will be fulfilled. If he defeats the tribes of Arabia, then you need to deal with him. And this was how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with someone. Just the sweetness and the way Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people who were opposed to him tells us volumes about how we should be dealing with people whom we regard to our adversaries and enemies.
Jazakumullah khairan for your time. Much appreciated. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.